T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This was the first year I started to get a sense that maybe Steve's the one who takes over for Bill. Bill gets a little slice of equity and is like the VP of football operations for another team. I could see him wanting to hire Steve.
Dale Arnold.
You know, that's the decision the organization made. It just didn't happen, fellas. It just didn't happen.
Rich Keefe.
I think New England is going to stockpile picks and throw 10 at somebody to get Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yeah. Dale and Keefe, middays.
Hello. This is Bill Belichick. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus.
You know, Marshall's done a good job.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Kevin Falk will join us at the bottom of the hour as we continue with Tom Brady Week. By the way, I did tweet out a picture, Rich, of my Stone Cold Steve Austin weightlifting belt.
Yeah, that's nice. That's not a lot of people have that, Dale.
I only hope it's real.
I mean, he wrote 316 on it. That's got to be him.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's real, but who knows?
Before all the neck surgeries, I'm sure he was using it.
Well, before that, yeah. So we mentioned Kevin Falk on Brady Week later on today. Drew Bledsoe will be on with OMF this afternoon as well. Can't wait to hear that
one. Yeah, that'll be good.
Teddy Bruschi was on yesterday, and he had some interesting things to say. We thought we'd bring you a couple of the cuts from yesterday's OMF with Teddy Bruschi. And the first cut here, he's talking about the decision being made to move on from the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
You know, it's the decision the organization made. Bill made the decision about moving on. And, you know, I've got to think that, you know, if things worked out and Tom it was in a situation or got a deal that he was happy with from the team, he would have stayed. It just didn't happen, fellas. It just didn't happen. And, you know, if the team wants to move on, they want to move on. So that's how Tom ends up in Tampa Bay. And you talk about those 12 jerseys you're auctioning off, it'll just be in pewter and orange or whatever that color is now. Because I personally think it's just something that I wish didn't happen.
Now, he seems to think that Tom would have stayed if he got the deal. Now, I said to you guys, it's my opinion that if Brady had gone back to Belichick and said, look, here's what Tampa Bay's offered me.
Right.
This is what I got. And if Bill had said, fine, we'll match it. Everything that you've got there, we'll match it. I think he still would have gone. But I may be wrong.
Yeah, I thought.
Now, Teddy seems to think he'd still be here.
Yeah, Teddy definitely is saying that if he got the deal that he wanted, and maybe it's not even the exact same deal as the Bucks, right? Maybe it's just more, maybe it's just that second year. And a little bit more money, or paid the same. You know, Drew Brees is going to be getting a kind of a similar 2-year deal to what he had before. So not even this huge pay raise, but just sort of, you know, we're not going to make you take a pay cut, and maybe it'd still be here. I'm kind of with you. I think the damage was kind of done.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Unless they blew him away, or unless, you know, Tampa was only offering a 1-year deal, or the Chargers were only offering a 1-year deal, then at that point maybe you're like, oh no, and then you know you misread the market and you end up coming back. But, yeah, I mean, Teddy's basically saying that, you know, Bill didn't want him. And that's kind of...
He had made the decision it was time to move on.
Right.
And, by the way, I agree with Teddy. I think Bill had decided...
Yeah, it was 100% a Bill thing.
It's time.
It's funny because...
Tom Curran's line is, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. Rip it off. I think that's where Bill thought they were.
Well, it's funny, too, because the way he starts the answer is that it was an organization's decision. And then so my first thought was, all right, is that... Kraft and Belichick, but then he clears it up. And he's like, no, it was Belichick. Like, it was 100% Belichick. And something that Wiggy has pointed out for a long time is that Belichick has basically a number in mind for all of his players, probably from year to year, and he's not really going to budge much on it, if at all. And so if he has Tom Brady down for $13 million or $17 million or whatever it is, like, that's it. And if you want to come back for that, we'll take
it. He'll fudge it a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I think he probably had to with, like, Devin McCourty. He probably had to, and, like, Logan Mankins before he traded him. Some of those guys got more than he wanted, but it was sort of the risk-reward. Be like, all right, do we pay a little bit more and then have to replace him with a lesser player and all that other stuff? But I think part of it is it's clearly the money with Brady, but also where Belichick thinks he's at in his career. And can he win as many games with a lesser quarterback where you're not investing as much money and then you can spend it in other places? And just, you know, there's so many different reasons why Belichick probably came up with that.
So I've said I think Tampa Bay is the second best team in their division. I still don't think they're better than New Orleans. And I know Drew Brees is an older quarterback as well.
Yeah.
Ironically, he's a year younger than Brady. But, you know, they were really good last year. They're going to be really good this year. Teddy talked about how he thinks Tampa's going to be with Tom at quarterback.
I mean, you've got to think that they're close to 9 to 10 wins, you know, and what that gets them in that division, who knows? But in terms of, I know the sort of statistics in terms of one score games that they were in, the 30 interceptions by Jameis and all of that stuff, you can talk about that. But you've got to think that they've got to be a serious contender for the division, and you start there. You know, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, those type of teams, I mean, those are – you know, it'll be competitive, but definitely going into December, you know, that they'll be there in terms of one game out or leading the division. I think the team just got exponentially better in terms of offensively, and even knowing that for defensive players on that side, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, just the uplifting, you're just refreshed that you know that the ball's going to be taken care of. It will give you 2 to 3 extra wins, in my opinion.
100%.
I agree with that.
I think
too,
they easily win 10 games. Again, you go back to it, and they were 7-9 a year ago, and the defense was atrocious for the first half of the season. And Jameis Winston threw 30 picks and a bunch of pick sixes. And I think they lost 2 overtime games. They lost a couple of other games outside of that were decided by less than a touchdown, and yet still they finished 7-9. They scored as many points as the Saints did a year ago. It was just they gave up so many more that I think they would definitely compete with New Orleans. Like, we'll see, you know, just how much better their defense is. Like, do they play like the last 6 games of the season? Because if that's the case, I think they can win the division. But either way, I think it's going to be close. It's going to be, you know, like San Fran and Seattle type of close, like battling back and forth all year. But I don't know. I am completely sold on Tampa Bay.
Well, Teddy talked about how he thinks Tampa Bay is going to do with Brady at quarterback. He also talked about how Tom Brady will do as the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It depends on, you know, how good those guys are there. You know, the Mike Evans, the Brates, the tight ends, the, you know, Godwin, those type of guys. I mean, what can they get done virtually? You know, that's what we're all doing right now. You're in all separate different places. They're in different places. What kind of meetings do they have amongst themselves in terms of going over? At least when you hit the field, when you do, if you do, you're on the same page in terms of concepts and calls and verbiage and those type of things. They may be surprised about, they go onto the field and all of a sudden Tom's saying their verbiage because he knows all of it because he's studied it all, and then that step's already crossed. You know, that bridge already crossed. So I'm sure that won't be a problem, just the chemistry in terms of how long it takes them to get going. That's the only thing you have to consider.
I do think that the lack of an offseason or the disruption of the offseason is certainly going to hurt Tom's preparation and his getting accustomed to his teammates. It's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just because any kind of extra thing, like we said last year, if the OTAs with N'Keal Harry would have given you a little bit of a little bit better chance of succeeding later on down the year, just being on the same page. We don't know if it would have 100%, but we thought maybe it could. And if that completely gets blown out with a whole new team, like at least Brady had Edelman and James White, who he's probably as comfortable with those two guys as any in his 20 years here. It's all new guys with the Bucks. So, I could see that being an issue. Now, I wonder what kind of, Montana passing camps are going to be allowed to happen, or just sort of private workouts. Like, how long does this last kind of nationwide? And can they, not that they're practicing with the whole team, but can he get together with specifically Evans, Godwin, Brate, Howard, maybe toss in a running back? Like, can those guys communicate a lot? Can they throw the football around a little bit? Can they at least be in the playbook and do some of that virtual stuff? Like, it's, you're going to have to be creative.
As it turns out, now he's in Tampa.
Yeah,
you know, so, we talked about, do guys have to meet him up in Montana? Well, as we now know, based on photographs that have run on social media this morning, he's there.
But I'll tell you, right now you probably don't want to publicly do this stuff and, like, take pictures after the fact, because you'll get a lot of backlash about being, you should be kind of quarantining. You'd be at home, and, he's taking pictures with those guys throwing.
But if you had, five guys, Tom and four receivers are out on a high school field somewhere because all NFL facilities are closed. So they're out on some high school field somewhere, some college field somewhere, in a park somewhere, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And you go out of your way to not get closer than 6 feet apiece, 6 feet between each other. Would that fall in line with what is expected? It would keep the group down to below 10, and, you can still go out there and get some work done. I don't know what you're allowed or not allowed.
I think people would still give them crap. I mean, me and Lou Maloney played catch in the parking lot, and people are like,
Lou broke a window.
I don't think he did, thankfully. Yeah, but people are like, you got to disinfect the ball. I don't know if Brady cares, or Evans or Godwin or those guys care, but I bet they would get crap if all of a sudden they were out there throwing the ball around together, because it's like, his hands to the ball to his hands, and if you touch your face, now you all have it. And
is it possible for that group to ever find a place to get together and throw the ball around that no one would be able to see?
Yeah, Brady's basement, I'm sure, is big enough. And
that backyard in Derek Jeter's place is pretty small. I mean, the pool takes up the whole darn backyard.
No, it is, but I wonder what it's like inside. Like, Mark Cuban's house, he basically has, like, a wiffle ball field in, like, one of his living rooms. Like, the ceiling's so high, and he's like, I remember he did, like, a Cribs years ago, and he's like, see, I can play wiffle ball in here. And, like, maybe Brady can do it that way. No, they're going to have to get creative. Like, and that's why I think, 3 weeks from now is the draft. And so when the draft's over, maybe they also add another receiver probably a running back in Tampa. And then, so now you know what your group is, and maybe you can even go over the playbook then. And it's going to be different, but I wonder if guys, again, so many of them are just kind of sitting around, probably going crazy, not sure what they can do. But maybe they're even in their playbook more now, just because what else do you got? You've already seen everything on Netflix. So get into your playbook. And then when you are finally able to open up the facilities, these guys can hit the ground running a little bit more.
I mean, Teddy's right. My guess is that Brady is already hip deep in their playbook and probably knows their terminology already. He probably knows where they're supposed to be better than they know where they're supposed to be from play to play, because he's, always been the most prepared player on the field.
And the other thing he obviously didn't change teams, but from 06 to 07, the roster and, let's face it, the play calling looked a whole lot different. And I know they had an offseason together, but Randy Moss didn't play in any of the preseason games, and he had never played with Wes Welker until that year. He had never played with Dante Stallworth until that year, and that was one of the great offenses in the history of football. So I know he still had McDaniels and Belichick, but still, like, that is a lot of new guys, and that was his best individual statistical season he's ever had.
All right, let's get to some calls with you guys. We'll talk to Kevin Falk at the bottom of the hour. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I'm so amazed about the thing that Curran said about ripping the Band-Aid off. If we had a viable backup, yes, I understand, but that's why I still don't understand about getting rid of Brady, because, like, Patrick Mahomes, if he wanted so much money, and it's better to get rid of him and have a quarterback behind him who's not making that much money, it's not always money. That's the thing that drives me crazy about stuff like this.
So, for Belichick, it's not specifically about, like, you and I see Brady as significantly better than Stidham, but I wonder if Belichick thinks that they're closer than anybody else does.
No, I mean, obviously, you're right, but that's the thing. I don't know. I hope Belichick's right,
Right.
Because it's going to suck.
No kidding.
Look, I'll say this, and this has been kind of a common theme of the offseason. Belichick obviously thinks more of Jarrett Stidham than we do. You, me, Patriot Nation fans. And he is in a better position to know Jarrett Stidham than we are, but he obviously likes him.
Or could it also be
He just released another quarterback yesterday, so.
Yeah, Cody Kessler gone, and that just doesn't that mean they're definitely taking a quarterback, maybe in the first couple of rounds? That's how I read it, because I think they'd be willing to carry three on the roster. And if you were just going to take a late round flyer, then maybe you keep Kessler around, and then, you know, you go into camp with four, then you can cut somebody. But anyway, I don't know. We still don't know if Belichick loves Stidham, because there's always the chance that he just had his mind made up and he could be stubborn and he's like, Brady, here's the number, and then it just didn't work out, but he was gonna win that one, and then his ego would be, I can get wins out of Stidham. We don't know if he loves him. I doubt he hates him, obviously, but
no,
maybe he just likes him.
You know, the teammates and the Patriots have been, you know, trickling out some teammates for conference calls. James White is doing one today, and we'll pull some sound if anything comes out of it. And I understand they're never going to say anything negative about a teammate. Nobody is. But they seem pretty positive about the guy.
Well, of course they are.
More than you know, not being negative. And they're, you know, they're not going to be negative, but they seem to kind of like this guy.
So I think they would say that about anybody. I think if they were like, hey, Kessler's the starter, they'd be like, this guy made us work. This guy's the man. Like, I just feel like it's teammate speak.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, Dale, I was thinking about you yesterday, sliding up 495 as I went through Rentham, because I had no clue where it was, but I knew yesterday. And Keith.
Yeah.
I didn't have a beer with you last night, but I did spark one up. It was good to see you guys
good.
Out there last
good,
night.
Good.
I was good to
I
see
sparked
you.
I one up, too. I don't even know what that means.
Hey, just crack a few. Not hurting anybody. Thank you, Eddie.
We got to do what we got to do.
That's right.
But listen, you know, Belichick, you know, God love the guy, you know, and Bill we trust. So with that being said, I have no problem with him evaluating staff. And if he wants to put a number on somebody, that's fine. But who puts a number on Bill when he lets Gronkowski slip away, can't replace him, whether he did or he didn't, whether he's prepared or not for Brady to leave, how he's done in the draft the last couple of years, they bowed out in the first round of the playoffs. Does Bill put a lower number on himself until they get back to the playoffs? How does Bill Belichick evaluate Bill Belichick?
It's a good question. I think he would probably say, well, you know, it doesn't affect the salary cap, so I will be the highest paid coach, and that's it. Then moving on.
But shouldn't they just at least take a look at him? Isn't the reason why he evaluates talent is based on what they're worth? And if Bill, if his talent is dropped down a little bit, I don't see why Bill shouldn't say, you know what, Mr. Kraft, I've dropped the ball a little bit this year. I think I need to raise my game up. Why don't we drop my salary down by about $2 million until we get back in the playoffs?
Yeah, that'd be something. I mean, this guy's not even a chance. I mean, we don't know how much Belichick makes, but everybody sort of assumes it's more than anybody else. And
well, it should be, shouldn't it?
Gruden makes $10 million a year. Yeah, it should be. But then you can make the case for a while that Brady also should make more than everybody else.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there, and we'll talk about this later on in the program. There are those who think that the replacement for Bill Belichick is in fact on the staff, but might not be Josh McDaniels.
Another Belichick.
That's what some people are saying.
I don't know.
By the way, I have some really, really bad news.
Oh my God.
So I tweeted out the picture of my Stone Cold Steve Austin weightlifting belt.
Yes.
And I said, I hope this is real. Stone Cold Steve Austin just replied to me and said, looks like a fake.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, that's horrible news. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Come on.
You ruined it.
At least Stone Cold's talking to you, Dale.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but he's bumming me out.
How bored is he? Holy smokes. Responding to Dale?
Oh, thanks.
I'll just be honest here. That looks like a fake. Oh, that is awesome. Where'd you get it from? Do you remember?
I don't. I mean, it's like, you know, 20 years ago.
You got to sue him.
Eli Manning sold it to him.
Probably. That guy. He's got a history of it.
I'll tell you who I think it's from.
Yeah?
I think it's from the Cardillo Belt Company. Because that's the brand name on it.
All right.
But man,
that is really
Stone
a
Cold
shame.
Told me it looks like a fake to him.
Oh boy,
now I'm going to be bummed out the rest of the day.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Like Brad's in Rhode Island. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great.
Listen, I'm getting exhausted with the terms of the Patriots getting rid of Brady or letting Brady go, as if Tom Brady himself had no agency in the matter. I think the guy was, you go back to October, November, the way he was acting and talking, I think he was over it. And no one wants to get their feelings hurt with the thought that Tom Brady just didn't want to be on our team anymore. You know, I think, don't you get the sense that it was because of
Maybe last year's negotiations where he wanted to be here longer and Belichick didn't and wanted to keep it year to year? Don't you think that's sort of what
forced it? If you're, you got a point there. If you're going to blame Belichick, you got to go back. You can go back years with that. With the Garoppolo, you can go way back. Yeah, Belichick wanted to move on years ago, but to just focus on like what happened in March of this year and blame, you know, Kraft and Belichick for that, I'm not buying it, man. I think Brady was over it. He was gone. I think he would have went elsewhere for less money. He's proven he'll take less money to have what he wants.
He might have. And I think, and that's, I've tried to be consistent on it. I don't think that this thing all went wrong in March. And like he was on his way to re-signing and then there was a bad March and he was gone. That might have been the finishing touches on it. You know, they had that phone conversation that Dale reported about that went really poorly, and Belichick offered him, you know,
17 is what
he kind of John Lester'd him, really, is what happened there. But I think you go back to a year or two ago where there were all kinds of issues along the way, but I feel like Brady would have been able to suck it up. Like, he probably hated how he got held out to dry at the Deflategate, but he sucked it up. He hated that Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl, but he sucked it up. But now you're going to offer me a one-year deal. You're not going to get me any receivers. You're going to do all this, and then I'm supposed to come back for less money? Like, enough's enough. So
I do think that there was something about, you know, just the oppressive atmosphere of playing around Belichick. Now, obviously, winning matters, and they love the winning. But many players have talked about, I mean, Wes Welker talked with the Greg Hill Show about, you know, just wanted to have fun. And I do think that Brady, by nature, is a much more upbeat, positive kind of person than Belichick portrays himself to be.
Yeah.
And I do think that after a while, that wore on him a bit.
Well, you hear about guys that played for Belichick for, you know, in Gronk's case, 9 years. In Welker's case, I think 6. Even guys that played like 1 or 2 years sort of talk about what it's like. And so for anybody to play for him for 20 years, that in and of itself is almost a miracle.
Yeah, I do think that it's why I question whether if the Patriots had matched the deal that Tampa Bay gave him, I still don't think he would have come back.
Yeah, if it was offered in this last month, probably not. But if it was offered a year ago, we don't even have the conversation because I think he just signs his 2-year extension. And maybe we start to have the conversation now that we've had for the last year, being like, you know, he never enters the walk year of his deal, and like, is he serious about 45? But think about how different the last 9, 10, 12 months would have been just on sports talk radio had Brady just signed a 2-year deal last year. We wouldn't have had any material. I don't know what the hell we would have talked about, actually.
Whole year worth of sports talk radio up in flames.
Nothing there.
But, that goes back to the whole Teddy Bruschi's point about Belichick had decided it was time to move on. He decided last August it was time to move on.
Yeah, he probably did.
I'll give you a one-year deal.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee a year, but I'm not guaranteeing two. And that's the point where Brady knew, this is my last year.
It's like Belichick was always okay with it, and then Brady kind of came around to it because of the way he was treated. And then so when people say, well, it was Brady's, Brady wanted to leave. Yeah, you're right. At this point, he did. Or, hey, Belichick wanted him gone. Yeah, he did. In fact, he was preparing for it in 2014. 2014 is when he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo and started talking about the age and the contract of Brady, which was, again, 6 years ago. So he was obviously, that was, you know, mid, or I guess getting into his late 30s, he was already prepared to replace him. So now that he's 42, I guess the question then goes back to the previous, like two callers ago about, yeah, you can rip the Band-Aid off or you can be a hard negotiator when you have a good replacement. But the question is Stidham that replacement or not? Is he the guy that can be the starter for a number of years, or is it a kind of fingers crossed, let's coach him up and see how he does?
When we come back, our Brady Week continues with one of the greats in New England Patriots history. Running back Kevin Faulk joins us in just a couple of minutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No one in Patriots history covered more territory as a runner, receiver, and returner combined than Kevin Faulk, whose 12,349 all-purpose yards in 13 seasons remain a franchise record.
Touchdown, Kevin Faulk!
But the way he did it, and when, is why Faulk is considered one of the team's all-time greats.
We are attempting to make connections with Kevin Faulk right now, and at his home in Louisiana. I texted with him earlier today, and you know he's expecting our call. He was obviously happy to talk about the quarterback of three Super Bowl championship teams that Kevin played on here as a member of the New England Patriots. And we're attempting to make connections right now. Brady Week on WEEI to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation's Restaurant Strong Fund is brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years in New England. To support those in the service industry who've been financially burdened by COVID-19, visit restaurantstrong.org. Just to try to get that out of the way. And we'll talk to Kevin in just a couple of minutes. A second-round draft pick, 46th overall in 1999. Now, that was when a second-round draft pick meant something to the Patriots.
Yeah, they hit on some of those. Back then, they've definitely hit on some. I mean, Gronk was a second-round pick, but there was plenty of busts along the way too. But yeah, Kevin Faulk, and you look at it, when so he was drafted in 1999, so obviously pre Belichick. So for a guy that Belichick already inherited, but then he got so much use out of him, and he was, you remember, you know, the direct snap to Faulk, like that was always a play that you felt like you could pick up a couple of yards no matter what.
Joining us on the Harbor One hotline is former New England Patriots running back, New England Patriots Hall of Famer Kevin Faulk. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing, man?
Good.
We're doing great, thank you. Our thoughts are with everybody, well, from coast to coast, but Louisiana especially hard hit right now. I hope you guys are doing everything you can to stay safe down there.
I try to as much as possible, but, you know, you just never know. Sometimes you have to get out to go, you know, do the normal day necessities, but it's still one of those things where you try to stay, you know, as safe as possible, but you just never know.
Kevin,
you were nice enough to join us here on Brady Week, and all of our guests who we've started this with, I've almost asked the exact same question. At what point did you know in your mind that Tom Brady was really Tom Brady?
When man control of a huddle, when it was like one of his first starts, even in a game, but in practice, when he came into the huddle, it was like, okay, all right, we got something here. And then from there, he just evolved as a, not just as a player, but as a person, the guy he is today.
Now, Kevin, you were drafted the year before Brady was, so you'd already been here, and obviously that was under Pete Carroll. So then you were here for Belichick's first year, and when they drafted Brady in the sixth round, and in a year where they kept four quarterbacks. Do you remember what your initial impression of Tom Brady was back in 2000?
Well, everybody's initial impression was, kind of bony. He's kind of skinny. But you never forget the confidence he had in himself, the willingness to want to get better, the competitiveness that he still has till this day. You remember those things about him.
People talk about gaining the confidence of Tom. You were obviously one of those people that he trusted, he looked for when things got tough. How did you develop a trust between the receiving running back and the quarterback?
Knowing what he knew on the field, I think he took note that I also understood pretty much everything that was going on. That he knew, I knew. That was one of my things. You knew the quarterback knew, you was going to be pretty darn good. You was going to be all right on the play. But also, one thing that our coach taught us as running back coach was we are the last line of defense and protecting his back, having all those other guys back when a running back really ain't supposed to do that, but we are the last line of defense.
Now, obviously, as a part of those teams that won the Super Bowls in 01, 03, 04, you know, the defense had a ton of star players, and, you know, the offense certainly was more than capable, but I feel like the defense kind of shined. And then you were also on the team in 07 where all of a sudden you guys become the greatest offense at that point the league had ever seen. Did you know after playing with Brady for 4 or 5 years that, you know what, chucking the ball deep down the field, throwing for 50 touchdowns, that he also had that in his game as well?
Well, we didn't have those type of receivers right at that time. We had good receivers. Our deep guy early on was David Patton. Then it changed to a couple of other guys. Our mid-route guy was Deion, Troy Brown. You had those type of guys. Wes Welker, you had those guys. But then you add on guys like Stallworth, Moss, Welker, that does multiple type of things. Everybody thought that Randy was just a deep threat. Randy could run routes. Randy taught a lot of us about coverages and how to run routes through coverages, and that really helped us out as a team.
Troy Brown once said to me that if he touched a ball, he felt he had to catch it. And I know you had a similar philosophy. And I'm looking through the course of your career, catch percentages of 77, 78%, 83%, 87%. You really meant it when you said if you touched it, you felt you had to catch it.
Well, I credit that to long, long before getting to the NFL, throwing in the yard, throwing rolls of tape up when you couldn't have a football, wanting to be a receiver when I was younger. That was one of those things. And then one time I got lucky. I got lucky to be on this team, to get in this offense, to get with this quarterback, to get with this scheme. It fit perfectly for me.
Now, we had a good exercise back on Monday where we talked to a couple of your former teammates and we ranked the best tight ends in Tom Brady's tenure here. So for 20 years, who were the best tight ends? You had a chance to play with a lot of them. I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but who would be the best tight ends that you played with on the Patriots?
Oh, man. how many I have to name?
So if you can give me five, we did lists of five on Monday. If you have five, great.
Five?
If it's five. Yeah, there's a lot of tight ends.
I know. Wow. That's twos. I'm going to go twos for real. I'm going to go twos. And it was a combination, and this is the reason why I'm saying it was a combination. And it developed. This probably could have been one of the best tight end combinations that we've probably seen of all time, but it never developed, and that's a Gronk and Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, I thought that was the best tight end combination I'd ever seen.
Where would you put Jermaine Wiggins on your list, Kevin?
Oh, he would be up there. It's kind of like you said about me, about being short-handed, about if it's in the vicinity, we're going to catch it. That was Wiggy. He probably wasn't going to beat nobody deep or anything, but he was that guy that was going to possess that ball for you, and Tom knew that.
Did Tom Brady ever yell at you in a game, or did you ever yell at him?
Of course. we all want to win. We're all competitors. That comes with the game. At the end of the day, it's like, hey, bro, you got... Yes, understood. And move on. Let's get better. It was no love lost between that.
Should you go back at him at times?
Yeah.
The respect factor, nah. You take it and you move on.
Should you guys have gone for it on 4th-and-2 against the Colts?
Yes. And we would do it again if we had that situation again.
Because you made it.
I think you kind of almost did. It seemed like you did. Got a bad spot.
I'm older now, and my answer is, you know what? I didn't make it. They called it that way. I should have get that extra half an inch or whatever they say I missed it by.
Mm-hmm.
We do it again, I'll get that depth. So it is what it is now. But beforehand, I got it.
Yep, exactly.
I'm wondering, late in games, now we talked to Ty Law yesterday, and he talked about the competitiveness of Tom Brady, but obviously he's not standing in a huddle with him the way you were standing in a huddle with him. Have you got an example of late in a game or in a tough situation of what he was saying to you guys in the huddle at those times?
I think you guys got a glimpse of it from some of the clips you will see on ESPN or the NFL Network as far as, you know, just those little motivational words that he used in the huddle. Come on, guys. We got this. We got this. We only got 80 yards to go. We know we got this. One down at a time. One down and down. First down at a time. And, you know, just those little confidence builders that not just in the game, but in practice that you've seen it done in practice time and time again. Like y'all always know, we practice situations. So a lot of situations that comes up in the game, we've done that already in practice already. And it's one of those things. You hear, like you say, the Ty Laws, the Asante Samuels, all those guys that play cornerback. You hear the trash talking going between Tom and them during practice, and you know when it's game time, oh, okay, we good. We good. We playing against some of the best cornerbacks in the league every day during practice. So you know you are right. That confidence level is very high.
I feel like every pass-catching running back who has come through here has been compared to you, whether it was, you know, Shane Vereen or Danny Woodhead, and certainly now James White. Do you see similarities in your game with James White and what he's doing now?
Most definitely. That's what the Patriots do. If they got something they like, they're going to try to go and find that same guy or someone similar to that guy that's going to fit that role. And you're going to see that from time to come. They're going to continue to try to find that guy in that role because that guy is a very important guy in the offense.
You live in a state where the top team in that division plays, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. With Tom Brady's arrival in Tampa, is New Orleans still the best team in that division?
Everybody's getting pretty high on Tampa right now. And I would see why. They have athletes on their team right now that they've done some good things last year, and they're looking to be even better and improve. But we all know that you got to put that together. And putting that together means you got to spend time together and put work in together. And we'll see once that time comes.
On the other side, how do you think the Patriots are going to do with their first year without Tom Brady?
Interesting. Something that we knew it was going to happen at some point, but didn't think it was going to happen this quick or this soon, even though it's been 20 years. Up in the air. Still got trust in Coach Belichick and his staff, but it's still going to be up in the air. And I think it's going to be a smart football team that's going to know how to win football games in tight situations. But it's going to be a little different, and the feel is going to be a little different. But they have confidence in the quarterback. I can tell you that much. They would have never gotten rid of Brian Hoyer last year if they didn't have confidence in Stidham.
Your career continues. You've been promoted to the running backs coach position at LSU. That happened this past February. It is a different offseason than anybody can ever remember. How are you guys at LSU handling what is a different world and no spring practices and things like that?
Kind of like everybody else, adapting, understanding that even though there's change, we still have to get our job done. And we're just trying to reiterate that to the guys because it's a little different for them as well. For us at LSU, we just started our Zoom meetings online. We're like 2-3 days in, so that's been good just to be able to see the guys' faces again and talk to them and laugh and joke with them and check up on them. You just can't see them physically, you know, and touch them, but you can see them online and everything.
So Joe Burrow obviously gets so much attention and will probably be the number one pick in 3 weeks. But I got a question about Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver. How good of a pro do you think he could be? And is there anybody that's currently in the league that plays kind of a similar game to him?
He's going to be special. He's a football guy. I had the privilege of being around him for the last 2.5 years, and he's an energy guy. He brings a lot of energy to the team, brings a lot of – he's that guy. If you notice, he's a guy that dances all the time.
Yep.
But he's running the most on the team. They got these monitors on guys now that monitor their heart rates and how far they're running during the course of practice. And every day he's probably like the number one guy on the team. So he's an energy guy, smaller guy, but he's a guy that we always ask him to go block a linebacker, crack a linebacker, crack a defensive end. So that tells you about his toughness. He's just a football player. One of the comparisons that you asked, he could be a little bit of Odell. Wow. And as far as catching the ball, I'm not sure about the explosiveness, but as far as catching the ball and making guys miss, that's his thing.
Your head coach, Ed Orgeron, cracks me up. I mean, man, that guy's got some energy, doesn't he?
Oh, that's where it comes. That's where the team energy comes from, is that guy.
Kevin, it's always fun to reconnect with you, my friend. You stay safe down there, and we thank you for taking some time to share your thoughts about Tom Brady and his career with the Patriots. We wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you very much. Really appreciate it, always.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
That is former New England Patriots running back, New England Patriots Hall of Famer Kevin Faulk. You hit the nail on the head when you said every pass-receiving running back on the Patriots gets compared to him, which is unfair to a lot of them.
Oh, it is. I mean, you got a guy that was here for so long and racked up, you know, 3 Super Bowl rings and was a impactful player. And it was just seemed to be a guy that got on the same page with Brady pretty quick. And they've had some good ones here. And I think James White might even be the best. But Kevin Faulk was the one that kind of got that started. J.R. Redmond had a really good, you know, he had some big catches. Obviously, in that final drive in the Super Bowl is very memorable. But Faulk for so long and was just a steady guy that Brady could count on for so many years that, yeah, whoever, like when, you know, when they drafted Shane Vereen, you're like, all right, can he be like Faulk? When they brought in like Deion Lewis or they brought in Danny Woodhead, and that's going to continue to happen, you know, even after James White.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. An interesting piece in USA Today highlighting a guy who might or might not be the next head coach of the New England Patriots when Bill Belichick decides it's time to move on. We'll talk about that when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Where would you put Jermaine Wiggins on your list, Kevin?
Oh, he would be up there. It's kind of like you said about me, about being short-handed, about if it's in the vicinity, we're going to catch it. That was Wiggy. He probably wasn't going to beat nobody deep or anything, but he was that guy that was going to possess that ball for you, and Tom knew that.
I think that's all fair. Heck, I think Wiggy would agree with that.
He could catch. They both
had
could.
Great hands.
They both could. And it's funny, so you and I are the top two on our list for tight ends. It was the top two on Kevin Falk.
On Kevin's list.
Because Kevin played, obviously, from 99, pre-Brady, all the way to 2011. So he played with Gronk and Hernandez their first 2 years. But he also played with Fourier. He played with Wiggy. He played with Watson. He played with Graham. He played with Kyle Brady. He played with Rod Rutledge. So he played with a lot of tight ends. And his two that he mentioned off the top are Gronk and Hernandez, which are the two that we had. Wiggy and Fourier had different lists.
I also think that there's a hesitation. Heck, we felt obligated when we talked about Hernandez on our list to say, now we're only talking football here. I mean, there's a hesitation to even mention him.
No, I know. There's a bit of the Voldemort to it, but
it's like Chris Benoit in wrestling.
Yeah, it is.
No one can say his name
right
because of how he ended his life and the life of his wife and his son. But you could still say, oh, he was one of the best wrestlers who ever lived. You could say Aaron Hernandez was a great tight end.
Yeah, or I think he was on his way to being a great tight end. I think he was very good, and I think you could see the potential because he's only here for 3 years. His second year was really, like, statistically was really good. I mean, O.J. Simpson made the NFL All 100 team. So I think there should be sort of this isn't the 100 best people. This isn't right. Nobody's doing that. We're just talking football. And I know some of these guys were monsters, but if we're just talking about football, I don't know. I think it's almost worse to ignore it and like to pretend like they didn't exist and like they weren't there, you know? He was one of the best tight ends that Brady ever played with. And
as a combination.
Oh, my God.
They were as lethal. That's a bad term to use.
Dale,
you know what I'm saying. They were as good as any combination at the tight end position in the NFL.
And what's wild, too, is just how, and not to spend a lot of time on Hernandez, but how young he was and how, like, he could have still been on the Patriots, like, this year. And it seems like forever ago that he played, but realistically, he would have been, what, like 30? Or not even. So, I mean, he could have been on the team right now.
Theoretically still been playing.
Right. It's nuts.
But guys who played with him, guys like Kevin, have got a much better handle on, you know, what they were like than you or I would ever have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And again, for somebody who played with so many different guys, and he actually played with, Watson and Graham and those guys longer than he played with Gronk and Hernandez, and still those were the two guys that he mentioned first.
Well, Wiggy has responded to Kevin Falk on Twitter.
Did he respond with a hashtag Wiggs out?
Yeah, Wiggs out, yeah.
And was it a Denzel gif, I'm
and
guessing?
A Denzel nodding, yeah. Smiling gif.
100%. He's got like 4 gifs that he used. At least it wasn't the 50 Cent driving away one. I guess that doesn't really apply here, but that's his other go-to.
It wasn't OJ in the Bronco.
No, it wasn't that. It was Denzel nodding okay.
I mentioned this before, and we'll do this when we come back in just a couple of minutes, because there was a very lengthy piece in USA Today, and it was a lengthy piece about an assistant coach for the Patriots, and let's be honest, for the most part, we're not even allowed to think about them, know about them, talk about them, or certainly not talk to them, but Henry McKenna wrote a very lengthy piece called The Next Belichick, Steve Walks in Father's Shadow for Now. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? We'll talk about that when we come back. We've got our take that needs a 180 at the bottom of the next hour. We've got what else you got coming up at about 1:45 or thereabouts. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.